Good morning to the Church of the Open Door. Good morning to the Church of the Open Air. And if you feel so led to get into this little jet stream that is right here, then move forward. And then we will abide in it. I hope you're glad to be here today. Let me tell you something. There's a group of people that is real excited about being here this morning. There's a group of people that when they left last Sunday, their question is, when is Sunday coming again? Now, that's where we want to be. That's exactly where we want to be. And there are some excited people. And so we're going to try to be catch on to their excitement and then bring on our excitement as well when we see them in a little while. It's great to be here in the house of the Lord today. And it dawned on me as I was coming in the door, I didn't send Jessica anything at all about what we were doing today. Jessica and Phil have been scrambling around this morning, and I'm sure that they came up with exactly what was needed. But I was so sure I had done it, but I did not. And we don't ever do those type things. Today, we're going to have a sermon where we pick up with the I am statements of Jesus. I am the gate. But really, that passage is more in the form of a parable. And so we're going to try to do it as a story in that respect. And it's a story that also goes back to the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel. And so Ezekiel tells a parable and a prophecy. And Jesus also tells a parable, which is prophetic in terms of revealing who he is. And so we will look at Jesus, I am the gate. And the question is, who are you following? I am the gate. Who are you following? Who are you listening to? Who is providing you direction in your life? And so we will focus in on that parable of the gate this morning. Also, we have a packed day today. And so we have a business meeting as well today. So I'm cutting the intro short. This morning, we're going straight to things, we will finish right around 11. We'll have time for the business meeting, and our children, who are anxiously awaiting two things, they're going to have fun doing what they're doing, and church is fun. It really is, and I hope you're going to have some fun this morning, too, while we're in here, and they're going to be getting ready. And then, since it's a little misty, we doubt we might have the parade there. So we're going to take the crowd to them this morning. And so once we get over there, you will see like two rows of tables. There's plenty of room for us to spread out there. The children will be operating behind the tables, and they'll be where you can see them and all that. And we will stay on the other side at that point. Because we will have some younger than 3 1/2 here today, and we'll have some that are quite young. And so we will observe, maintain our distance, and enjoy their enthusiasm, because I can guarantee you it's catching. And so we will enjoy that opportunity. So we're here today to worship. We worship the risen Lord, and we are so thankful that we can be here. Phil, help us out here.
Oh,
Isn't it amazing how you can change the key to a well-known song, put it in a slightly different key, add a slightly different arrangement, slow it down in certain places, speed it up in others, and it brings out a whole new level of meaning. Life is like that, isn't it? It speeds up, it slows down, it changes keys on us, but the meaning is rich and is still there, and God is still with us and is King of Kings, and we crown him for that. I'm going to start a different little tradition today. Hope you don't know that, but I'm going to pick on you today. Good. I'm glad you're good with it. We have some birthdays today. And today, actually, is Aaron Reams' birthday. And Jesse Matthews has birthday on Saturday. So I would pick on him if he weren't over here. But Hope, I'm going to let you stand in for Stephen today. So Hope, if you'd stand up for just a second. Stephen Marlowe's birthday is Saturday. And so since we're not going around collecting, let's all give her a hand for Stephen. It's happy birthday. So tell him he got an ovation for his birthday. And then that we look forward to seeing him soon. So we are thankful for birthdays. There are no anniversaries this week, but we know that you know people that have anniversaries, and so if you do, wish them a happy anniversary, and same with birthdays. Oh, David, stand up. I'm going to pick on you. Give him a hand. We'll see if this tradition catches on a little bit, and we'll run with it. For prayer concerns today, please be very mindful of Vince and Jennifer and Bradley Farrell. I've had some recent communication. Carol has had some recent communication via Facebook. And Jennifer, as you know, is going through a real rough time right now. She is off of the ventilator, but she does have pneumonia, and they are giving her dialysis, and they are doing some blood transfusions. So she is not out of the woods. So please lift her up. Also lift up Vince and Bradley, because they're without her at this point, and they are continuing to go through life's, I think the Lord gave an amen on that one. They're continuing to go through life's challenges. So lift them all three up in your prayers, and we pray for God's healing and for God's strength and for God's mercy. Lord, we also remember Nancy Horton and the family and her passing this week, and so thank you for letting us know about that. Continue also to remember Lori and Mike and Mary. We are so glad that you're here, glad that everyone is here. It's been a challenging year, hasn't it? Yeah, right, exactly. And so we are thankful that we can be in the house of the Lord today. Also continue to remember Brian Blaylock, a person that I knew at Bragtown. Many of you may know that family as well, continuing to struggle with leukemia. Emily Leeds, Jacob, who is, any update? Is he still in the intensive? Yes, most definitely, most definitely. Also, continue to remember Perry, Peggy Behringer, Juanita and Aubrey Vickers, Mary Helen and Ronnie Mitchell. Continue to lift them up in your prayers. Ann Williams, Brandon Hudson, continue to remember him as well. Dolores Farrell, Leanne and Ray Insko. Cheryl, any updates?
He
Okay. But a little bit more mobility, maybe? Yeah. Good, good. So we will pray that they can make the transition and find the work that they need. You know? Yeah. You know, here, there's a valuable lesson here. One of the things we'll get into is, you know, we say that we are servants serving others and that we're a church that ministers to others. You know, when we say that, the Lord brings us these ministries, you know, whether we ask for them or not, he brings them. And it reminds us of the importance of family, taking care of people. And, you know, it's not always in the most opportune time. In fact, most often than not, it's not at the best time in the world, but according to God, it is the right time. And so sometimes we're asked to go, we're asked to pick up that cross, and we're asked to carry it. And so when we are presented with those opportunities, and all of us get them, we all get them. We get an equal blessing on this. Some think it's a curse, but it's really a blessing. We all get that equal blessing, and God brings persons into our lives for a reason. And it's to us to answer that call. Because, see, one of the things that we're going to get into today, the sheep, they say, are dumb animals, but they know the shepherd's voice. And if they don't hear the shepherd's voice, they run the other way. Do you know that? They run the other way. Maybe we can learn from those sheep, and maybe we can learn to hear Jesus' voice, hear God's voice. No, I haven't lost my mind. God does speak to us. Listen for his voice. You will hear it. So let's have a word of prayer. Oh, well, yeah, we'll do it. Yeah, here and here. Yep. Carol, right? Okay. Thank you. Yes. Sue and Andy. Yes. Amy. Yep. So we are glad that you are here. Thank you for making the effort to be here today. And may you be blessed by your experience here today. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, as we can hear the cars passing by, we know that life does go on. But we know that for many of us, we come to those standstills where we have to take stock of what is happening. Sometimes we are knocked off our feet. Sometimes we're turned around in a different direction. Sometimes we're unstable. Sometimes we just don't know. But we do know that you are with us. No matter what the situation, no matter what the condition, you do not abandon us. So, dear Lord, for each person that has been mentioned today, We lift them up. For you hear each cry, and you know each name, and you know each situation, and you will answer in your time. Dear Lord, we ask for healing. We ask for understanding. We ask for the closeness of your presence. We ask for that peace which we so often are so unsettled. Bring us that peace, dear Lord. Help us to know that you're there. Help us to trust you when we don't feel like it. Help us to hold on when we want to run the other way. Dear Lord, be with us. Lift us up. Walk beside us. We need your shepherding. We know your voice. May we hear it and may we follow it. Dear Lord, we know that you do not abandon us. Comfort us and strengthen us in our times of trial. So, dear Lord, we lift up each name that has been mentioned today, each person that has been mentioned today, and we ask for your healing, mercies, and your grace. Dear Lord, we also lift up our churches. May they continue to proclaim the good news. May we continue to honor the Great Commission. May we go out. May we tell the good news. May we baptize. May we disciple. For we are in such need of a revival in this land and in this world. Help us to be agents of that revival. And dear Lord, we lift up our country. We're going through many challenges, political, social, and economic, all types of challenges. Dear Lord, we were founded on godly principles, but we have drifted. Help us to return to you. Help us to still hear your voice in the midst of all the chaos that we experience. Dear Lord, help us to keep our eyes focused on you and your leadership. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this morning, our children are getting ready, and they're excited to see you, and I know you're excited to see them. And we've got a story for them this morning, and I have my box here. Now, I've had this box in my office for a long time. Think of this box as a house, or think of it as a sheep's pen. Except, I don't think that looks like a sheep, does it? No, we got a nice big old zebra here. I love zebras. My children know I love zebras. And through the years, they've given me various zebras, which I proudly show. And I take good care of them. I even got a blanket for them. And everybody that comes in plays with these zebras. So these zebras are important. So here's a large zebra, so we'll, sake of argument, we'll refer to this one maybe as the father. Now here is another zebra, not quite as big, but this is the mama zebra, right here, and so they stay together, and then lo and behold, we have this baby zebra. So we got the zebra family here, and they're all taken care of. They're loved. And they're taken care of, and they stay together, and they're protected. And here's what I want to remind everyone this morning. We're protected, too. Now, in our homes, we may have alarm systems to protect us, and we'll lock our doors and things like that. And we have parents and grandparents and loved ones that will take care of us and protect us. But I want to tell you the story of another protector that you don't want to forget about. And I'm going to tell it as a story. Jesus told a story about some sheep that were in this pen. And there were some that would try to crawl over and get the sheep. But Jesus calls the sheep by name, and they hear his voice, and they know that that shepherd, who that shepherd is, and they will follow that shepherd out of the gate and into the gate. And something very interesting about this shepherd doesn't follow the sheep. This shepherd leads the sheep. The shepherd goes first, and the sheep follow. And you know these sheep, they're really pretty smart. If they don't recognize the voice of the shepherd, or the voice of Jesus in this case, they go the other way. So here's something that I want you to know. Jesus, right here, you see him at the door. A good shepherd will also lie down at the door of the sheep pen. And why does the shepherd do that? To protect the sheep, those who are going in and those that are coming out. He protects them. And so here Jesus is at the door of this sheep pen, and you see all the sheep and they know him. And you know that when you're coming to church, you're learning about Jesus. You know Jesus as well. And you are like the sheep, and we are like the sheep. And Jesus is our shepherd. So here's what I want you to remember. Your mommy, your daddy, those that care about you, your grandparents, they will protect you as much as they can and in their homes and wherever you are outside. But also know Jesus is your protector as well. And he is with you everywhere you go. Y'all have a great week, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Have a great one. May we behold the Lamb and may we follow the Lamb. Jesus said, I am the gate. And our question to each other is, do we know that gate? Are we willing to enter that gate? Are we willing to follow that shepherd, that Lamb? This morning I want to share with you some very interesting developments, some of which you may have heard of, some of which you may not. You have heard that we are living in a post-Christian age. Post means what? After. Now, what does that really mean? We no longer live in a Christian world. We live in a world that's after that. That's what they're trying to say. Is the church dead? No. Does the church need to be revived? Yes. Yes. We rely a lot on facts, but we have trouble with faith. Now, I'm in a world of big data. I deal with big data all the time. But what do we know behind each data point? There's a person. There's a person. And we can know a lot of facts, and we can plan for everything, and life can get messed up, can't it? That's a good time for an amen. Life can get messed up. Amen? Amen. Amen. Faith is inescapable. Faith is inescapable. But I'm going to tell you something else. I'm not anti-science, but science is a science. I'm a social scientist, so I'm a scientist in that sense. Theories and hypotheses are based on what we believe and every little bit about what we know, but what we know is only what we can verify, and what we can verify depends on how we measure it. Do you have a whole lot of faith in that? I mean, that's the truth. That's the truth. You know, you see all these signs coexist. This big movement about all religions coming into one. They're not the same. They're not the same. But I will tell you this. In the last days, it does say what? There will be a move for all religions to be what? One. One. I just heard a ding on the phone. I think that was an amen. That means pay attention. Pay attention. Because Jesus says, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. Pay attention. I keep going harping on this thing. Will we stay one nation under God? Because we were founded on godly principles. Just like the nation of Israel. Will we stay on godly principles? You know, God has unconditional love, but God is still a judge. We don't like to think about that, but it's the truth. Are we a nation under judgment? We shall see. Because here's what I know. In Christ, every life matters. That's biblical. In Christ, every life matters. Yes, we have prejudice. Yes, we have discrimination. Yes, we can improve with economics and politics and with criminal justice and all of that. We can improve with all of that. There's always room for improvement. But never, ever forget that every life is important and all lives matter. Because God created us. We are His children. Christianity continually is being removed from the public sphere. Prayer in schools. Christmas. Do you even say Merry Christmas? Ten Commandments. Now, I thought about doing this morning, but I didn't want to desecrate the house of the Lord, so I'm going to give you a homework assignment. I'll ask, and you can find this on YouTube. I'm going to ask you to write in the word Kali, K-A-L-I, and the Empire State Building. You'll be taken to a YouTube video or a picture, and you will see a picture of Kali projected on the Empire State Building. Well, you ask, well, who is Kali? Kali is the Hindu goddess of destruction, the destroyer goddess, the goddess of darkness and destruction, shown for all to see on the Empire State Building. You didn't even know it, did you? I guarantee you, if we'd have put a picture of Jesus Christ on the Empire State Building, everybody would have heard about it and been complaining about it. That is the world in which we live. That is the world in which we are charged to bring the gospel and the good news. Now they're experimenting with other ways of discovering the hereafter. It is the return to psychedelics. John Hopkins right now has a psychedelic research unit where they're addressing persons with anxiety, fear, as they're experiencing death, alcoholism, PTSD, anxiety associated with cancer. It's the old magic mushroom again. Psilocybin, an extraction from these mushrooms. They give you an hallucinogenic experience, that sense of oneness, that sense of complete abandonment. We're trying to find alternative ways to that peace which passes all understanding. There's research currently being taken place at Johns Hopkins, New York University, and Yale University, all working with the effect of psychedelics. Now, others will talk about the fact that in the early church, you had some groups that also utilized some of these hallucinogenic elements within the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper. And there was a theory long back in the 1970s called the sacred mushroom and the cross, where John Allegro, who was a Dead Sea Scholars expert, was saying that all the disciples were high on this magic mushroom. Well, that's what I'm saying, that we live in a crazy world. And you hear all kinds of stuff coming out. I tell you this so that you will not be so caught off guard when you hear about it. But these are some of the things that are going on. But here's something else that's disturbing. I'm going to give you an acronym, S-B-N-R, S-B-N-R. It stands for spiritual but not religious. It also means that you don't like organized religion. You'll find your own peace and you'll find your own way. Now, for whatever the polls are worth, because remember, polls depend on the sampling design. Polls suggest that 27% of Americans right now are in that category. Used to be 10% in 1990. Now it's up to 27%. And among millennials, it's 40%. And so that got me thinking. We have some work to do, don't we? We have a lot of work to do. Sharing the gospel, ministering, and and discipling. And so I want to share with you two passages of scriptures that will get straight to that point. And they're tied together. And I really wonder how much this was on Jesus' mind when he told the story of the shepherd and the gate. Here's another homework assignment. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 2 through 10. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 2 through 10. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Now the shepherds would have been the kings, the leaders, and the priests, and the religious leaders. So you see, this kind of starts asking us, you know, what am I doing? What are we doing? Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the Lord says to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Shouldn't the shepherds feed their flock? In other words, the shepherds have been focusing on who? Their wants, their needs. You eat the fat, wear the wool, and butcher the fattened animals, but you do not tend to the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, healed the sick, bandaged the injured, brought back the strays, or sought the lost. Instead, you have ruled them with violence and cruelty. That's pretty blunt, isn't it? It means we haven't done our job. They are scattered for lack of a shepherd. They become food for the wild animals when they are scattered. My flock went astray on all the mountains and every high hill. My flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and there was no one searching for them or seeking for them. Are we seeking for those who do not know Jesus? Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, this is the declaration of the Lord God. Because my flock, lacking a shepherd, has become prey and food for every wild animal, and because my shepherds do not search for my flock, and because the shepherds feed themselves rather than the flock, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Look, I am against the shepherds. I will demand my flock from them and prevent them from shepherding their flock. The shepherds will no longer feed themselves, for I will rescue my flock from their mouths so that they will not be food for them. When Jesus ascended, what did he ask us to do? Three things. Go, therefore, and proclaim the good news. Baptize and disciple. For how long? You can answer that. Until he what? Returns. We know this. We know this. So this shouldn't surprise us. This has been empty for too long. What's behind the curtain? The baptistry. It's been empty for too long. Lord, move us to proclaim your words. Does the plumbing still work? The plumbing still works. Wanted to make sure, because I am asking, we are asking God to fill this pool again. If we will share the good news, if we will minister to others, if we will care for people like it matters, these waters will flow in this pool again. And I know that each one of us wants to see this. But for this to happen, we've got to get out and proclaim the good news in everything that we do, all of us. You see, the world is really depending on it. So let's listen to these words from Jesus and this parable. John 10, 1 through 10. I'm going to pick up the other half of this chapter next week, and that's the one about the good shepherd that you're familiar with. But this first part is about the gate. Truly I tell you, everyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. In other words, there's one way. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all them outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. If you don't remember anything else today, remember that. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. We follow Jesus because we know his voice. So my question for me and for each one of us, how often is it that we hear that voice? And no, you're not crazy if Jesus speaks to you. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. Don't we teach our kids to not open the door for a stranger? But yet we let strange things in our lives all the time. We don't follow our own advice, do we? Jesus gave them this figure of speech, another word for parable. But they did not understand what he was telling them. Now, he was telling this to the Pharisees, religious leaders, persons who were also shepherds. And what he's really telling them is, you're not being a good shepherd. Jesus said again, truly I tell you, that's that amen, amen that we've been talking about. Phil mentioned it last week. I mentioned it 2 weeks ago. Truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. We are looking for that pasture every day, aren't we? We look for that pasture, the safety, the food, the care that that pasture symbolizes. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life. And get this, and have it in abundance. We are the people of an abundant life. Jesus meets us where we are. And Jesus will take care of all of our needs. Because we have the promise of an abundant life. But you see, the Pharisees, and then I wonder how often we identify more with the Pharisees than we do with Jesus. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I was in seminary, it came real clear to me. I said, now, am I a minister of the gospel, or am I in between a Pharisee and a Sadducee? Because I know a whole lot about the Bible. I can tell you a whole lot about it, and I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you a fact. I know a whole lot about the Bible. Does that mean I know Jesus? See, it's a difference, isn't it? It's a big difference. A huge difference. You see, There's something that's a little interesting about the shepherd in those in that pen. Oftentimes, there were many different flocks within the pen. But the sheep would respond to the voice of who? The shepherd that they know. Do you know Jesus? Do you know that shepherd? Do you know that person that lies in front of the gate, that cares for you, protects you, loves you? See, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the cornerstone. He is the high priest. He is the King of kings. He is the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb. He's the Prince of Peace, the Son of Man, and the Son of the Most High God. He is not a wicked king, a corrupt priest, or a false Messiah. So do we hear Jesus' voice? And do we hear it clearly? Do we hear the gospel? And do we hear it enough to change our lives so that we are not afraid to share the good news? You see, the abundant life is more than success. It's more than prosperity. It's more than comfort. It's more than pleasure in all its forms. It's more than our selfish wants. See, Jesus calls us to a life which is grounded in God's peace, God's love, which is unconditional, God's grace, and God's mercy. And Jesus, and don't ever forget this, are you a disciple of Jesus? You know, when you made that decision, you made the decision to do what? Follow Jesus. Are you any different than Peter, James, or John? No, you're not. Because Jesus called them by name and they followed. Jesus calls you and me by name, and we have the choice as to whether or not we follow. Same practice, same example. So we have to trust God as well as each other. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to die to ourselves that we may glorify God in all that we do? Are we willing to hear Jesus, accept Him, enter His sheep pen, and follow Him as our shepherd? That is the question. He is the gate. He opens it for us. He asks us to come in. He lies down before it to protect us. And when He goes out, He asks us to follow Him. When we leave here today, we are leaving the pen, aren't we? Jesus is going ahead of us. Let's follow Him and not ourselves. Let's follow Him and see where He leads us. So today, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, repent of your sins and accept God's unconditional love, grace, and mercy. If you need to reaffirm your commitment, do so. Do it today. Take up your cross. Follow Jesus. Fulfill the Great Commission. This is what is before us. That is the question. Jesus is the gate. Who are we following? So as we leave here today and enter our mission field, may we walk boldly and be empowered by Christ's presence. For Christ came to us that we may have life and may have it in abundance. Lord, help us to be your ambassadors. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Everyone, God bless you. May this be a great week. We will now transition into our business meeting, and following that, we will move over to children who are anxiously awaiting us, and they are, may that excitement be contagious in all its forms. So hope I'll turn everything over.